Welcome to Inside Ag. I'm your host, Savannah Peterson. Today, I'm sitting down with Kansas Department of Agriculture Secretary Mike Bean and Kansas Farm Bureau Director of Political Affairs Brendan Worth. In 2022, they were appointed to the Wildfire Task Force by Governor Kelly, and they recently submitted their proposal. Welcome, Secretary Bean and Brendan.
Thank you. This is a pleasure.
Thank you for having us on this morning.
Absolutely. Secretary Beam, what were the factors that led Governor Kelly to create the task force?
Well, I think if you look back into December of 2020 and then into the spring of 21, there were some pretty major fire events. And so the governor actually went out to see some of this and visit with people impacted. And he thought, you know, this is time to really assess why have we had so large of fires in the last few years in Kansas. Record, we set records, it seems like, year after year on the size of some of these really devastating fires. And so I think it was just her way of saying, you know, are we working this correctly from the state level? You know, is there something we can do to help locally? And, you know, what can we do to if there are any changes or additions or any help that we can provide to address this? Because this is just very devastating to individuals and communities when it happens.
Brendan, what was the goal of the task force?
The task force brought together a unique group of individuals across Kansas, all of which had a significant role in whether it be preventing, responding to, or helping recover wildfires from wildfires across Kansas. And the goal was really to bring the resources of all those individuals and all the experience in the room to try to figure out how is Kansas and the resources that Kansas has managing these. And what resources could we improve on and what can we learn from? Three primary areas of the task force that we focused on were mitigation. So how do we prevent these from happening? Response, how do we respond to them when they're occurring? And then recovery, what have we learned and how can we best recover when they do happen?
You guys had a lot of other peers on the task force with you, but what kind of discussions were had among the members?
Well, I'd have to say that once we started meeting and people kind of got to know each other, I thought we had really candid and insightful conversation. At least for me, it was really a learning experience to hear, you know, what local emergency managers face, what firefighters do. How the state through the Kansas Division of Emergency Management, the role they play. And, you know, the Forest Service is a very fundamental role in firefighting, the state fire marshal and Kansas Division Emergency Management in concert with locally. That, to me, was a very good learning experience. And I must admit that I think when we first started, some of the task force members, without saying it, were kind of suggesting, well, you know, we already worked together. We've made some changes. Maybe they were a little bit apprehensive about, the need for a task force and to go through all this again. But that subsided fairly quickly, and it was just a good exchange of information. And I learned a lot from it, and hopefully the report reflects some of the highlights that various agencies or individuals shared with the group.
I would echo what Secretary Bean said, bringing all those individuals with all these different array of specialties related to wildfires, everything from those that are involved with trying to prevent them and the mitigation strategies, whether it be the Forest Service, the NRCS, CRP contracts and with FSA, and the Prescribed Council, the Burn Council Association. So I think there was a wide array of individuals who had all these unique individual experiences related to preventing, responding, and recovering to wildfires, that to get all those different perspectives, like I personally was probably more involved in recovery than any other aspect in the 2021 fire. but in the same context, there were lots of other moving pieces that I think it was good for all of us that were involved in one part of these wildfire systems and another to be able to share those experiences and then learn from them and say, okay, what role can the state of Kansas have, and what happened that we can learn from, and how can we, you know, use the state's resources more efficiently and effectively to try to respond better given all of the things that are happening during a wildfire. There's, you know, before, during, and after, just a lot of moving parts and pieces that we're not always aware of. And the state of Kansas has some great people, and to put them all in a room to have that opportunity to have that open dialogue. And Mike did a great job leading those discussions, trying to lead us to what's our actionable item, because I think that was the real goal. We wanted to meet as a task force and be able to come out of this with some actionable items that we could recommend to the governor and potentially the state legislature that would then be something that would be an improvement for our communities across Kansas. And I think we did exactly that.
And Brennan, you have touched on this a couple of times, but the task force found three sections to really focus and hone in on. Can you give us a little bit more of an overview of each of those three sections and kind of what they were geared towards?
As I mentioned, mitigation, response, and recovery. So mitigation being, you know, what can we do to prevent it? You know, majority, over 90% of land and property across Kansas is privately owned. When a wildfire occurs, it predominantly exists on private land. So what can we do to work with private landowners to ensure that we are doing things to prevent that? There was all sorts of discussions related to invasive species, eastern red cedars across Kansas that poses a significant problem because of the fuel load that it provides, changes in cropping patterns, and, you know, residue management increases fuel load. The value of residue from a farmer and rancher perspective and a pasture and rangeland management from what we leave on our fields and pastures from residue from 20, 30 years ago is a lot different than what we do now. We value that resource and we understand soil health better, but yet that causes an increased fuel load when a potential wildfire occurs, or how do we prevent that? So learning that piece and part of mitigation, we talked a little bit about power lines and the role and what causes them, and a lot of discussion around what could happen. You know, how do we report it? How do we know? What's the data say? And trying to learn more of what's the data tell us about what's causing wildfires. Then the response component, which is way out of my league, but there were some wonderful experts in the room with the Kansas Firefighters Association and Emergency Management and Kansas Forest Service and a whole host, Kansas State Fire Marshal, who really understood the intricacies of how there's, with over 90% of the state of Kansas being privately owned, it's also in the same context that percentage or larger is volunteer firefighting force that is called to respond to those wildfires. What could we learn from them? Volunteer firefighters in the room, as the groups I mentioned, all brought that expertise of when we're fighting this, how do we stop it? How do we, you know, get in front of it so it doesn't become more devastating than what it is? And what resources available in the state of Kansas to do that? Again, some amazing folks have put themselves on the line, and I think it was great for them to be able to share what can we do better. And then the same context, recovery. You know, when this happens, nobody wants it to, but it's devastating. If you're in the middle of it and you've lost your cow herd, or thousands of acres of pasture that will take years to recover, your fences. Unfortunately, we lost several homes in many of these fires. You know, how do you recover, and what resources the state of Kansas have to be able to pull together? We saw an outcry of support from across the country in the December 15th wildfire, the four county fire, as we reference it. And so how do we best organize those resources? People want to help. How do we best organize that? What's the state of Kansas have available, and how do we, you know, recover as efficiently and effectively as possible using the resources that the state has? Everything right down to, how do we get water to cattle that their water is a burn up in the first few hours? Like, there's still live animals. How do we manage hay into a system that still got fires going? I remind folks that there were fires for 7 days after the December 15th fire. So yes, we needed hay, that a lot of hay burnt down, but you don't want to get hay too close to the fire still burning. So lots of things a part of that task force, the focusing on those three areas. And I feel we went in great depth and came up with some great recommendations related to those three areas. So awesome. Jerry, would you like to add anything there?
No, I think that was it was a good snapshot. when we started, I didn't know how much time we would devote to each of those categories. But I think it's probably, we'll probably spend as much time on mitigation and prevention as we did on response and recovery. And if you think about it, that's probably important, because the fewer that we can, the fewer fires that we have, wildfires that we have, the better. Or at least when we have those wildfires, they're not as catastrophic. And probably some of the biggest expense investments that need to be made are on the mitigation and prevention. So we spent probably a little bit more time on that section than we did on response and recovery. You know, the report that we put together is intended to be kind of a resource with a snapshot of, you know, what's out there, what's the findings, some of the observations, and then some recommendations.
Secretary Beam, you have presented all the recommendations to Governor Kelly. What were the recommendations that you presented?
Well, we actually presented the report to the governor, and I know that she has looked through it and read it, as well as her staff. One unfortunate situation is that we didn't wrap this up until November. And most of what the governor and her staff and Division of Budget do in preparation for the next year happens in November. So I know that they're not going to be able to consider a lot of these proposals during the 24 legislative session. But I do hope, and I have some faith that the one recommendation that's in there that's probably the most time sensitive, and that is encouraging the legislature to authorize some expenditures for a comprehensive look, to contract someone to do a comprehensive look at, why the roadblocks or the inhibitors for recruiting and retaining volunteer firefighters. You know, over 80% of our firefighters are volunteers. We rely on those extensively. So what incentives would be might be helpful for both firefighters and those employers who allow those volunteers to play that role? And what training and just or what are some of the challenges or opportunities? Because we didn't really have the time to really dig into that, and probably the expertise to do that. So I'm hoping that there's some funding made available to, put out a request for proposals at next spring, and then have somebody really dig into that. And I think they can compare what other states do, because Kansas is not the only one that's had some of these challenges. So that, I think, is the most time-sensitive approach, and I remain hopeful that that'll be in the governor's budget. But if not, it'll be something that I think they will certainly consider.
And what are the steps moving forward for the recommendations and the task force?
Well, I would say, again, is try to get this in-depth study underway. We'll be visiting with some of the agencies. But also, I think as we look at conservation programs, both at the state level and at the federal level, we will say, oh yes, we talked about this is an emphasis that we should have. Maybe it's on fuel management. One of the really critical parts of this, and Brendan touched on it, is we've provided document in the report on how the growth of woody invasive species have occurred, and it actually has a county-by-county breakdown. So first, it's a realization that, hey, you know, we've got to pay attention to this invasiveness that's occurred. It's kind of gradually occurred, and so if you live in an area, you may not notice it as much, but we just have a lot more fuel out there than we did 25 or even, 50 years ago. So an awareness and an understanding. And there's also several recommendations here that will ask for or suggest more resources be provided to volunteer fire departments, the Forest Service, fire marshal, and other. And again, we're probably a little bit late in the game for consideration in 2024, but these recommendations, I think, will allow the agencies as they plan their budgets for the next year to maybe propose that and flush it out a little bit more. Probably the other thing I'm excited about is there's some audiences that we'll be visiting with over the winter who's interested in the report and the recommendations. So I'm hoping that we can do more awareness and outreach this spring.
What Secretary Beam said about bringing awareness to this, when these happen, you get into a responsive nature and you want to reflect on this one specifically, but by taking all the experience from several wildfires, I don't discredit any one particular one, but the largest ones are Anderson Creek, Starbuck, and the Four County Fire. And we've had multiple ones across the state that have had tremendous impact, maybe to not that acreage, but still, if you're impacted, it doesn't matter how many acres, it's yours. And just bringing awareness by state government that we need to be focused on this. One of the things that was just really shocking to me and with the weather forecasting conservation folks in the room is that this is not an anomaly of this happening. This is really probably closer to a new normal. And we need to be aware of that. And we need to be prepared. And we need to plan ahead as best we can. And so when it does happen, we're ready to respond and be as efficient with the resources. It's still limited. To bring somebody whole again after a devastation like this. And after my time, visiting with farmers and ranchers that had, a whole herd devastated, I'm proud to say that the state of Kansas is doing everything it can to try to prevent it and be able to respond and learn from how we recovered from it. And I think this was a great step to do that.
Yeah, Brendan, how will these recommendations impact farmers, rangers, and anyone else living in real fire-prone areas?
Well, the state has a tremendous amount of resources, many of those under different divisions of government within the state governor's purview. Bringing this to light, I would also commend in through the recommendations, and there's dozens literally of recommendations submitted to the governor. But I think there's an overall theme of collaboration and working with landowners and farmers and ranchers. I think that that tone of we want to work with you and not tell you how to manage your ground and how do we, educate and bring awareness to these issues in all aspects is, really commendable towards, in respect to our farmers and ranchers and landowners and those fire prone areas that, and some of it's just awareness. For instance, what are my rights? If there's a CRP field that's in between my home and I, what's the educational tool that we share with volunteer firefighters on their ability to control that fire? Oftentimes it may take a disc and a tractor. Nobody wants to be a penalty from the federal government. So how do we make that awareness? How do we include mitigation into CRP contracts? And we just provide more awareness to our folks with CRP contracts that they have that right. That mitigation component, what are the resources out there to control the cedar or invasive species issues that exist? I think what Secretary Beam referred to as in the report is a list of every county and the cost to do that. And I think some of those, and it's not just a rural issue. There are several urban counties, if you look, that have significant infestation of eastern cedars that would, and they have some really nice homes in some of those areas and would be extremely devastating to some of those urban areas across Kansas. We saw a pretty good sized fire in the Hutchinson area, but we know that it exists in other communities across Kansas. So this isn't just a rural Kansas issue. Wildfires can be just, if not even more deadly across some of our urban areas of the state. So bringing awareness, recognizing what are we doing to support this? But I do believe our farmers and ranchers are, well served by this report that if it were to ever happen to them or They would at least, there would be, we would be better suited up to be able to respond and recover. And really, we can also primarily help them understand how they can be a part of mitigating it and keeping it from happening.
Well, is there anything else either of you would like to add?
Yeah, I would add that one of the very important points made, and I should have been aware of this, but again, this whole process helped me realize it, because I'm looking at it from a state official standpoint. But Kansas has a emergency response plan, and it's set in place for all the types of emergencies that you can imagine. And we follow the incident command system set up several years ago that most, practically all states follow. And response starts locally. So the state is not engaged in responding to events, including wildfires, until local emergency manager or, you know, the commission call upon them to help. Now, they know when something is happening, and so the State Emergency Operations Center, you know, gets in place and gets staffed up. But the state doesn't rush out there and start helping put out fires until they're asked. And usually the locals ask adjoining firefighters or emergency responders first. So that just, to me, really drives home the importance locally. I hope people get engaged and are supportive of their local emergency manager, their local emergency management plan. Because it's important to have, you know, good people in place that are trained, that are engaged with the community, and that the locals, you know, even county commissions, you know, provide, you know, adequate financial support to, because it starts there. And that's, I think, something that I don't think the general public is fully aware of, unless you have an emergency. So that local emergency manager and staff and the commission are very, very vital in the response areas. They can certainly make a difference in the prevention and mitigation as well. And the other thing is that this started long before the task force was in place and started meeting. But we've learned a few things since these major fires that Brendan referred to. So there, you know, there's people watching the weather, and they know in particularly, you know, late fall, winter, early spring, when we have a lot of, you know, mature, dead forage or fuel, that if it's dry and we're expecting high winds and low humidity, we know we have a likely chance of a wildfire. And when we do, it could be very devastating. So the state is actually have been staging some of the aircraft and others across the state, just anticipation that a fire erupts and the locals need ask for help. So there's a lot more. I think there's been a lot done in the response area the last few years because of experiences, not all good. But again, you know, the role of local volunteers and emergency managers cannot be overemphasized.
I'd like to add to that, and I agree with everything about the local engagement, because that's how response and recovery and mitigation, all that's where it all starts. But I think what I was impressed with was the amount of effort so many different communities are taking to address these issues already, and how we showcase that right down to, you know, Clark County did a mitigation project, and it was a great example of what you could do, what it could look like, and starting what that looks like. So how do we just share that message across Kansas? There's great examples out there in terms of collaborative efforts of firefighting systems working together for response and communities, and how they share aid, as Mike mentioned. And then in the same context, recovery. And most of these are volunteer sources in a lot of ways, that just give their time and figure out a system, and there are just so many great examples across Kansas of being able to manage this well, and how do we share their success, learn from it, So, you know, we know how to better manage it in the future. That was a great realization for me. It makes you proud to be a Kansan.
Secretary Dean and Brendan, thank you both so much for joining me on Inside Ag. And thank you guys for the work that you have done to help protect our farmers and ranchers across the state. If anyone would like more information on the Wildfire Task Force, there's a link in the description. But I'm your host, Savannah Peterson, here on Inside Ag. If you like this episode, be sure to share it with your friends.